Welcome to This Too Shall Suck podcast, a fresh perspective on grief. I'm Lauren Denise, just your average millennial out here trying to have a conversation about a taboo topic that nobody wants to talk about. It's important to know that grief doesn't just happen when you lose someone. It can happen at any moment in your life. And it doesn't have to be all bad. It can actually be a really beautiful process. And as a millennial who had to process her own grief, I knew it was important to bring a more lighthearted, fresh perspective and create a safe space to discuss a topic that is typically uneasy. As I always like to say, we like to talk about the real of grief, the whole grief, and nothing but the grief. This Too Shall Suck podcast, A Fresh Perspective on Grief, starts now. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Y'all saw that shoulder work? Welcome back, you guys. Welcome back, my loves, to another week's episode. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. If you are back and a part of this little community, I love you. I love all of you guys, and thank you so much for being here. Before we dive in, I want to just ask you guys if you can remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. It would just help me so much in getting the message out here with grief and helping, you know, the world know that you're not alone in this grieving journey. We're out here, you know what I'm saying? And so if you guys can just do that for me, I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you and love you so much. And let me know what you do. Send me a DM on Instagram or Facebook, on LinkedIn, send me an email, let me know so I can personally thank you. But today, guys, we're going to be diving into the grief. I don't want to say the grief. Grief and a death doula. That's what we're going to be talking about, right? And you guys have probably heard of a birth doula, right? You know, but you probably never heard of a death doula. I obviously didn't hear about it until, I want to say honestly, recently, you know, and I've been in this grief workspace since since 2020. And most recently, I've learned about a death doula and what they do and become really intrigued by the idea. I even thought about, like, is that something you want to do? So like really, really just intrigued by it. And so I had the honor of bringing on an amazing guest. Her name is Elizabeth, and we get to talk all about, you know, what being a death doula is, you know, what they do, you know, why you really should have one. I think you should definitely have one if you can, you know, talk about her company with her colleague, Karen, and how they've created this amazing company, Farewelling. And, you know, really giving you a chance to personalize and create celebrations of life. You hear the term like celebration of life, right? When someone passes, but how do you really curate and personalize that for yourself? And it doesn't have to be in a moment of like, I'm about to die, so I need it. No, like you can have it set and ready so that when the time comes, the time comes. Like if you want wine everywhere, then do that. You know, she was talking about, she was saying that her colleague wants a rosé fountain, and I'm with it. Okay. I want a party. Like anyone who's listening, I don't want, like, I get it. I want you to be sad. I want it to be beautiful. But the after party, the repast, I need y'all to be turning up, okay? Because I would be turning up, right? I need y'all to have all my favorite foods. I need y'all to have all the wine. Like, I need it to be a party, okay? Because I'm going to be up in heaven like, go, go, go. Who's next? I'm sorry, y'all. Pray for me. Send help. Just pray for me, y'all. So, I did some research that I just wanted to share really quickly before we get into the interview of how many death doulas there were in the U.S. And so in the U.S., this was according to, this is in 2020, November 2020. So this was the most recent one, honestly, that I found. But they said, according to the International End of Life Doula Association, there are more than 400 certified death doulas in the United States and more around the world. So this is, you know, death doulas have been, what I found out is it's not like new, right? Of course, everything, you know, can be has been around, but now it's just more, I guess, more brought to the light or more prevalent, especially in the time of COVID, right? And having to understand and cope with things that we didn't really know how to process, especially in the middle of a pandemic. If someone passed away, like, what does that look like for a funeral, right? And so it's really just the knowledge and people learning more about it has, I want to say, excelled a little bit, which I love. And then I also read that a survey by the Conversation Project concluded that 90% of people say that talking with loved ones about end of life is important, yet only 27% have actually done so. So 90% of people are like, yes, we need to have these end of life conversations, but then 27% have only done it. Well, what percentage are you in? Are you in the 27%? Is that you? If that's you, you need to listen to this episode. You need to, first of all, you need to listen to this episode. There's another episode I do on life insurance. There's another episode I do about funeral directors. I'm going to link them all in the show notes because it is important. It is not an easy conversation. It is not fun. It is not sexy. It is not cute, but I promise you it is going to save you a mound of confusion, a mound of heartbreak, a mound of anything that you're going to have to go through, you know, in the grieving, in that you don't want to put others through who are, you know, grieving if something happens to you. So that's my soapbox. Let me, that's me. That was me stepping back off my soapbox. But I'm trying to think. I read this article. It was super dope. It was by a doula. And she was talking about the value of a doula. And Elizabeth talks about it a lot as well. So she says here, the value of a doula is to engage not only, you know, the patient who's, or the person who is dying, but the family through difficult and complex emotions, you know, during the dying process. So it's really, really interesting. Like I said, I really have been like, you know, grappling with the idea if it's something I want to do. So who knows, maybe a girl will be a death doula here soon, but I'm really excited for you guys to hear this conversation with Elizabeth. Her energy is just unmatched. She's so sweet, so fun. I can't wait for you guys to hear about farewelling and how it could really impact you all and impact the conversations that you're having. And I don't know. I get excited about all the conversations. So let me just say that. I'm excited about this conversation. We're going to dive into this break really, really quickly. As you already know, we got to pay these bills on time, and then we'll get right into the interview.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
All right, guys, we are back, and I'm so excited and honored to have this next guest on. You know what's funny is, actually, I'll tell y'all the story a little bit of how we kind of cross paths with each other, but what I'll do is I'm going to read her bio, and then we're going to get right into it. So, a licensed funeral director with an MBA or certificate in thanatology, the study of death, dying, and bereavement, a death doula, and an author. Elizabeth Meyer Karansky brings more than a decade of expertise and a personal passion to the farewelling mission. She is dedicated to helping us all understand and open up to new ideas around end-of-life planning and to leading the way for industry providers as they innovate and personalize the celebration of a beautiful life. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome the beautiful Miss Elizabeth. Woo, 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 woo!
Hello, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this.
Of course, I'm excited too. Like, y'all, we've been like laughing for the past like 20 minutes before we got on here, so we're probably gonna be laughing this whole thing. So we actually met because I literally Googled grief podcast, and I started looking at all these articles, and I saw from her company Farewelling, and I was like, I don't see this Two Shall Suck on here. So I literally just sent an email, and I was like, hey. I see that y'all have these, you know, great grief podcasts on here. However, comma, you don't have this one on here. And, you know, her and Karen were just so open and receptive. And they were like, yeah, girl, like, we got you. And so they put it on there. So I'm just so grateful. So thank you for that, number one.
Immediately, we had to fix it.
Right? They literally, I was like, oh, my God. Like, really warmed my heart. So thank you for that. And then Karen introduced me to Elizabeth, and I was like, yes, please. And thank you. So here we are. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate it so much.
I'm so honored. So honored. Thank you. Right away, I said, she has to be here. We have to recommend her to our viewers. And I need to be on there.
Right.
I want to talk to her right now.
Right. Exactly. Please. But I want to get into this because, again, like, it's just so interesting to me. You know, obviously people hear that major and it's like, why would she want to major in that? And then they hear like a death doula, you know, and people, you know, you think of a doula for birth, but you don't think of it for death. So I knew I just had to have you on and talk about it. So we're just going to get right into it, Miss Elizabeth. So, of course, for those who don't know you and know your story, you know, what is your journey with grief for those who are getting to know you?
Yeah, so my journey with grief, still here, still on it. I lost my dad when I was 21 years old and I was gung-ho to have a celebration that wasn't cookie cutter for him. And this was 15 years ago. So it was basically pick or choose whether you want flowers, if so, red or white roses. And instead we had a true celebration, a real party. And at the after party, multiple people came up to me and said, you know, this is really strange, but I had a really good time at your dad's funeral. And if something were to happen to me, would you plan mine? And so here I am, 21 years old, totally lost, and think like, this is the silver lining. I'm supposed to become a funeral director.
Yeah.
My mom said, no, you've misread this situation completely.
Slow down.
So unfortunately, to her dismay, I didn't listen. And I wound up going back to the funeral home, working there for numerous years, then going on to get my MBA, thinking maybe I would step out of the industry. Instead, I wrote my dissertation on the industry and went right back in, became a funeral director, became a death doula, started this amazing company. And I think my journey is constantly evolving and never ending. I think it's kind of the two most important things that I've learned is to go with it, is to stop the thought of this will end. You know, as you say, this too shall suck. This too shall not end. And accepting it, you know, and accepting that there will be ups, there will be downs, there will be moments that you hear, you know, you can hear the same song, you know, and that song can either bring back memories that make you laugh, or memories that make you cry. And some days will be the tears. Some day will be the laughter. Yeah. And that's okay. And I think I've been in this industry just kind of, I was taught at a young age, you only fear that which you don't know. And so I think I've been searching for answers, searching for comfort, searching for, you know, thinking that if I help others, maybe it would ameliorate some of my pain. It does. which, by the way, is most people in this industry, particularly, you know, in your field and, you know, those clearly searching. And I don't say that in a bad way. I think it's amazing. For sure. And I wish there were a similar outlet when I went through it. You know, I became a funeral director. Like, that's just weird. But I think, you know, I think that's my journey, is that I'm still on it. I'm learning to respect it. And I'm learning to work with it and be able to help others in an empathetic way. Yeah. I don't think you can really do this without feeling it.
No, that's good. Cause that's true. You know, I talk about that a lot, is that, and you can, you know, kind of attest to this as well, as being in the space all the time. If you don't have the tools to take care of yourself, you can stay in a deep place of it. You don't need
to. Well, that was my mom's fear. Yeah. So my mom was like, why would you go into this? You're just going to become this really morbid person. And that's just so unhealthy, is to be around this all the time. We need you to grow out from it. And again, everybody's journey is unique, you know, and for me, I needed to dive in and I need to still be there. And whether it's because there is that connection then, you know, and I feel like I don't forget my dad because every day in some way, you know, here I am doing a podcast and, you know, he's come up, I've kept his memory alive. For me, this works.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Cause you're absolutely right. It does keep that connection open. So I want to, you know, dive into something you say. You were like, you know, you're in this place, you're lost. And then this silver lining just happens to come, you know, for somebody who is in that space and they're looking for the silver lining, you know, what do you suggest? Do you suggest they look for a silver lining, or they just, you know, hope that something comes to them?
Yeah. So I think, look, every journey is personal. That's got to be our number one lesson here is we can say what works for us. But we can't say what's going to work for everyone. I'm a big believer in, you know, I believe in silver linings, and quite frankly, whether or not this was meant to be, in my heart, feeling that way makes me feel better, you know? And I think that for me, that works. And for others, I urge you to find the silver lining, because why not? You know, worst that can happen is you find happiness with something and believe in your mind they're correlated. I don't think they just jump out there, because I don't think that's how life works. But who am I to say?
Right. Who am I to tell you about your life? They're like, well, actually, you're like,
I'm a big believer in talking. I'm a big believer in, you know, being active in your grief, active in your journey. So for me, the silver lining worked.
Oh, that's good. So when you say active in your grief, what do you mean exactly by that?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people just fear it and hide from it. Pretend it's easy, right? It's a lot easier to just go about your day and dive into social media, dive into activities, and ignore that pit in your stomach. Whereas grief, they say it's a journey. It's a journey. It's literally a journey. It's an active, right? It's exhausting. And I think that when you do go into it and you do workshop through it, whether it's with a therapist, whether it's reading, like, know yourself, know what works for you. What is it, you know, getting to know, is it journaling? Is it, again, talking to friends, maybe instead of a professional, or, you know, whatever it is. And by the way, try multiple things, and maybe one works and one doesn't. But I'm a big believer in kind of taking the reins and going on this journey and seeing where it takes you and seeing what makes you feel better and what doesn't.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really, really good. Cause like you said, it's easy to just kind of cope and put it to the side or do whatever and act like it's not there, but then it's going to come back. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that people need to understand. Like, it's never going, it's always going to, you know, it might be like over here hiding this. I'm like, hey, it's the most inopportune time. You're like, why are you here?
Yes. I didn't invite you.
Right. Like, who asked you to be here, weirdo? Like, literally. So
it is. It's the most inopportune times, always. And so I'm a big believer in, you know, figuring out what works, but trying everything.
No, that's good. Try everything. Because some people are afraid to try a thing, but you're saying try everything.
Try religious outlets, try therapy, try reading, try journaling, try, you know, and find your journey and find what works.
Yeah.
Try becoming a funeral director, you know?
You know, try becoming a death doula, no problem.
Yeah. It's fine. Just try.
It's fine. Right. I mean, what do you got to lose? You know, you can always leave. So let's dive into that a little bit. You know, thanatology, like, first of all, getting into this work, now I know and, you know, understand how it is. But, you know, again, as a person, I majored in hospitality, right? So I would have no idea that was even a thing, you know. And did that come, you know, after, you know, your dad, I assume after your dad passes when you, you know, thought about it. But, you know, to people, like, if you tell that to people, are they like, girl, what? Like, what conversation?
100%. Everyone. I will say this, though. The conversation has changed over, I would say, the past 5 years.
Good.
So I think prior to that, I would say I'm a funeral director, and it was like silently retreat, you know, just walk away. Exactly. Whereas now, I think there has been sort of a revolution, for lack of a better word, where people are now just curious, right? So now it's, you're a funeral director, pause for sure. But then it's either I have a question, or I read, I saw, I heard, you know, there's something, or sharing their wishes. Which makes me really excited, because I love the idea of removing the taboos, opening up conversations. That's why I got into this field. So I think that has certainly changed. Most people still don't know what thanatology is. That's a weird one. I find it really interesting, because it's basically what everyone takes away, kind of something different that hits them. What hit me is the importance of realizing how unique each either person dying, but not only that, but each family member going through the process of losing someone, and how different connections can be, different religious backgrounds, you know, different cultures. It's so important to acknowledge that. And also what that helped me do is step back and know that this isn't my journey. You know, you're there to help someone else. And while empathy, I believe, is, you know, most important, it's also not your journey. And so to be able to step back and say, what's going through their mind, where are they, and meet them where they are, is so crucial.
Oh, that is important. Oh, you are so right. I literally tell, when people are like, I'm gonna tell this person to call you, you know, because they just lost their mom. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, but I always say, like, I always am like, hey, is it okay, number one, if I call you? And number two, is it like, how can I support you? I'm not going to get on the phone and start telling you, well, I felt this way and I did that, because that's not doing anything, because I don't know how you feel. I don't know how your relationship was with your mom. I don't know any of that. I can share with you my journey in hopes that it helps your journey. But I think that's really important, you know, and I know I keep harping on it, but you saying that, like, meeting someone where they're at, because a lot of times people are like, well, you know, I understand how they feel. You don't necessarily understand, but you can get it. There's a difference, because you're not that person. You're not, you don't know their relationship. Like you said, religious, you know, things that need to happen. My sister's friend's dad died. And because of their religion, they had to bury him like 3 days later or something crazy like that. I'm like, there's no way.
Some religions it's 24 hours. Some religions it's 24 hours. And you know, that could have monumental effects on who can be at the funeral, or when people have time to grieve. And, you know, again, just knowing all of that and bringing it into play, I think, is really important.
Yeah, no, that's super important. So let's dive into the death doula, because I got a lot of people are like, what? So it's two questions, kind of like, what, you know, what made you get into, you know, being a death doula, and what is a death doula for those who have no idea what that is?
Right. So I guess we should start with what it is.
Right.
And the easiest explanation is, if you're familiar with a birth doula, same thing, other way around, is that instead of ushering a life in, you are ushering someone out, you know, and you're basically in the same way that a birth doula doesn't replace a doctor necessarily. doesn't necessarily cut in, doesn't say don't do anything. It's just a helpful hand. And that's what a death doula is it's someone who can come in, who is familiar with the space, who can take care of, not, again, like a birth doula, you're not just taking care of the patient or the person who's dying, you're taking care of the whole family. And that for me is so crucial, is that it's someone who's comfortable with this process, who can read the situation, who's familiar with how to make that person going through the process as comfortable as possible. And it can be something as simple as making the space that they're in, for lack of a better word, sacred, or just more comfortable for both the person who's going through the process and the family. So this could consist of, for example, turning the bed so that their head faces the window and they're able to look outside every day. Or asking everyone who comes through the door to remove their shoes to make sure that that room is kept cleaner and sacred. So kind of little things like that are the, for me, the big takeaways and what really helps. Many doulas will also have projects that they call legacy projects. So depending on how long the patient is with them, that dictates what their role is. And if they're with them for a while, they may create legacy projects, which could be a journal, it could be a quilt, it could be an art project or a montage or, you know, a collage of any sorts. It could be poetry. So that's something you could do for a patient that's with you longer. It's also, they tend to stay right afterwards to be with the family at the last moments. And then even afterwards to guide them through grief a little bit.
Oh, goodness. That's so, girl, what did that answer? Yes, ma'am. So some days she's like, yes, ma'am, it did. Yes, ma'am, it did. So a couple of things that I heard you say that I wanted to touch on. So is there a particular time when a death doula, you know, is involved in the process? Is it, you know, once they find out they have 6 months to live? Like, how do you get, you know, involved or connected with the family?
Yeah, so it's not like hospice where there's, you know, this kind of number that I think it depends on the person. And look, you're asking to be invited into a home during a very difficult time. Most likely, it could be at a hospital or whatnot. And it really depends on where, again, meet the person where they are on their journey, right? Is it someone who's potentially younger and going through this process and has a terminal illness and wants advice and wants someone holding their hand through the process and working through having them help talk to their family members and, you know, go through the whole thing and have an advisor through that process? Or is it, you know, maybe it's someone elderly who doesn't have too long, but the children want a doula around to help them and their loved one. You know, then it may be a shorter period of time. So there's really no cookie cutter answer.
That's good. So I had a question from one of the listeners that I wanted to ask that'll probably tie into this. So her question was, are there any common signs you see before they die?
Yeah. So here's the thing is, again, everyone's unique. There could be anything from, you know, not wanting to eat is a really big one. People tend to lose their appetite at the end, and we always recommend not to force them to eat. And I think that when I went through it personally with my dad, my reaction was, here, let me give you anything, right? Same. I wound up giving the man diabetes. Like, God, I feel bad, but I feel terrible. But I was like, oh my gosh, this delicious chocolate cake and this delicious thing, like, just get it in. It's our innate desire. We think that when you're fed, you're healthy. And we don't want to read that sign of them not wanting to eat, because that means to us it's not okay. And so that's, I would say that's the biggest sign, is people really not craving food any longer. Is a big one. There can be visions, you know, everybody has their own thing. But we have seen visions. But I think if we're going to take one thing, that's sort of the big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. I was like, do you want a smoothie? Do you want ribs? What the heck? Like, then eat something. Just, I don't care
anything,
what it is.
Literally.
Anything.
Yes.
Literally. Yes. We would like bring, oh my God, I can't even remember the name of those smoothies. Or those little, they had these drinks for cancer patients, and we would try and give them to him, and he'd be like, it's disgusting. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But like, so you're just not going to eat anything in lieu of this not having flavor or tasting like a rib? You got to meet me halfway. Right. Dude. That last week, my dad was, woo! was trying for your girl, okay? The record for flex, was trying for your girl.
Yeah,
like you said, you know, when they're ready.
Yeah, no, and it's really hard for those around them, because again, I mean, you and I went through it, as you just take anything, come on, you know?
Right.
So again, it would be the role of a doula to kind of work through and explain to the family that, you know, this may be a sign, and to gently let go and
be, oh, that's good. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So you guys get your death doula. It might make your process easier. Is it almost like a palliative care situation, or is it a little different? Because we have that in the hospitals, the palliative care people come in, but is it different than that?
So I think palliative care people are extraordinary. The doula doesn't actually do any medical work.
Okay.
And so that's really the difference, is they're more of a spiritual guide, but not any medical.
Okay.
So that's sort of the difference. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The palliative care, in a similar way, works with everyone. Yeah. Palliative care is amazing.
Yeah. They were super nice and they were patient. Like, we had to go through the life, and then they were just like, well, I think she's saying it like this. And I'm like, yes, thank you. That's how I'm saying it. I'm like, you didn't know you was going to play mediator here, did you? Thank you.
I think you did. But, yeah,
right. That's why they both were in there. There were two of them in there, like, okay. This can get weird. But no, it was good. We didn't get too crazy. Just, you know, emotions. You know how it goes. But
yes.
So I want to get into farewelling and, you know, how you guys have this amazing company and what you're doing with the company. So tell the listeners about farewelling and what you guys are doing, and just, I just think it's so important. Why is it so important to get it out there?
Yeah, so thank you. We are so proud of it, that I'm thrilled to hear others say the same thing. It is our motto is celebrate a beautiful life beautifully. And this is kind of everything I've worked towards, is this now, which is kind of don't wait. And there's no reason that a funeral, an end of life altogether, should not be celebrated. And should not be personalized. And right now it's like a hot topic to say I had a personalized funeral, but you go to the funeral home and personalized funeral is like, okay, what casket do you want? And what music do you want playing? And what, you know, flower? And here's your book of flowers to choose from. We think no, there's more to that. And so we offer everything from a worksheet to really get into questions with what do you want? And by the way, what don't you want and why?
That's good.
And I think that's really interesting, because the why is something that I think is lacking in planning, and is so telling, right? So we really want to know the person. We want to understand, not just to have answers on a piece of paper, but to really understand and to get a full vision of the person. And so we offer worksheets to fill out in advance. We have beautifully curated memorial pages for afterwards. You know, in COVID in particular, people weren't able to gather at funeral homes, and we saw this, you know, massive void. And as we've now learned, you know, you can communicate even right. if it's on a screen. And so we felt the need to make a space that was truly beautiful, you know, where it wasn't just a slapped on obituary page and a couple of photos and yeah. maybe some cliche music in the background, but something that was curated and really beautiful. So you can create different backgrounds, different themes, and it's very personal, and it's a beautiful tribute to the person. We also have full toolkits that allow you to fully complete your funeral. So you can both plan all events, you can see a timeline. We even offer virtual funerals now, which again, nice. In COVID has become a big focus of ours, not yeah. only doing completely virtual, but also hybrid. If a couple yeah. of family members are at the funeral home and keeping it to for a while, you could limit to 5 or 10 people, but mm-hmm. you want more people there. So having a hybrid event, having a completely virtual memorial service, again, it's not Zoom. It's a yeah. really well-crafted, thought-out program
right.
That it works. You know, it's obviously there's nothing that replaces in-person gathering, but this yeah. I'm shocked by how good this is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. I'm not.
No, and then we... Yeah, we have a bunch of online materials, articles, you know, whether they're personal or guides, kind of with hundreds of articles and kind of anything we can provide. And we sort of say I think we were the voice that was missing in this industry, which it's not get your bleep in order. It's not a gothic woo funeral director. It's more your best friend, the funeral director, you know, and kind of everything you need. We feel confident you're in good hands.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Oh, no, I love that. Yeah. Because again, the idea of what a funeral director was is not that anymore. It's just not that. So I don't, you know,
yeah,
people think of like the Addams Family or something. It's a funeral director.
No. No, so that is not me. Something that was really personal to me is we created guides to funeral homes in about 100 cities. And the thought process there was, you know, a lot of people were a nomadic society. Often someone will die not in the place they're familiar with. So what do? We take out our phone, we Google funeral home my location, and you get right. a website. And what do you do with that, right? It's really not telling enough. So we have guides for different areas, and they're not ranked. They're just, these are our suggestion of funeral homes where we think if you call any one of these, you're going to be taken care of and you'll be happy with your experience. So we've really tried. Yeah, we're not trying to take away business from funeral directors. We're not trying to say don't use them. It's more kind of how do you make this experience as personal and special as possible?
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. So question for myself, question from the audience, myself. So is there, the question is if I were to come to you right now, like I don't, you know, I'm not sick or anything like that, knock on wood, you know, hopefully have long years, right? But is it a situation of like, you know, if I want to come or a friend wants to come and set it up, is it one of those situations you come to Farewelling now and have all my personalization ready? So in case something does happen, then, hey, go over here and it's done.
Yeah. So I think what's so important, I have articles about it, is have those conversations. You know, talk to people when you don't need to. I know I'm preaching to someone who believes that too, but we even have an article right. that says, and this is true, I talked to my mom about death and we're both still here. You know, I think yeah. that's the important thing is everyone feels like, sorry, I have really small ears. Okay. Everyone feels like, sorry.
I know. Hilarious. For those listening, her, ear, her AirPod just goes. Fell out. For those of y'all listening, her AirPod fell out. It was hilarious. Sorry, y'all. We're ready.
You can come in at any time. I think we have things you can print out, worksheets you can print out. And we say, fill them out on your own time. You know, this isn't, if you're in good health, just get it done. You know, maybe you can do one page a day. Maybe it's one page a week, but go in and be thoughtful. And by the way, make a plan because it just makes going forward easier. It's one of those things, once you get out of the way, you feel better. It's mm-hmm. it's not like taxes where you have to do it every year. Yes, you can go back. You can adjust. It's not written in stone. But having something, and I don't know what your personal experience was, but mine was, my dad didn't tell me anything. He had gave me nothing.
Same, sis.
Nothing.
Same.
Yeah, no, nothing. And so I think I create an amazing tribute to him. Does he agree? I don't know. You know, do I have regrets? Yes, I do. But that's because I could easily gone one way or another and I make a decision. I would regret the other choice too.
Sure.
And so I say there's never a time that's too soon to write down wishes. And by the way, again, you can change it, but have something there. And I think it's a good exercise to do anyway.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, again, like you said, I am such an advocate. I'm like, have the conversation because we just happened to have the conversation a week before, of course, not knowing that my dad was going to die. We were like, you know, if you had a funeral, what would you want it to be like? And in his mind, he's like, why are we having a funeral about, or why are we talking about a funeral? I'm like, Dad, because we have to have these conversations. Like, you're laying in the hospital bit. We have to have these conversations. And he's like, I want a shiny blue good casket and I want... I want Flashlight by Parliament playing. And we were like, okay. And so amazing. He got a shiny blue casket and we played a Flashlight by Parliament as we were going out. And that's what he wanted.
That's
but everything
amazing.
Else. Yeah. You know, but like you said, everything else, it was like, okay, well, I think this would be great. Like, you know, picking out clothes and doing certain things that I just know that he would like. But like you said, I wish... You know, there would have been more like just having to make the YouTube, preaching to the choir,
everything.
You already know.
Everything. Like, I know now that my mom wants a red lacquer casket. And guess what?
Okay,
I know
mom.
Where I'm getting
that's
a red
me,
lacquer
mom.
Casket. Yeah. But, like, my dad gave me nothing. He literally, this was the conversation. Lizzie, I'm going in for a procedure. And quote, unquote, my eloquent father, by the way, my super eloquent father says, I might get dead. That's it. That was the sentence. I'm like, Dad, can we discuss that further? He goes, nope, because it's not going to happen. End of story. That was my conversation. By the way, my father had a very educated man. It was like the weirdest sentence.
Like,
it was, he physically couldn't say, I might die. He had to make some sort of a joke about it and completely close doors to all other conversations.
Wow.
So I'm a big fan of discussing in advance.
Also same. I love that. I need to get that article so I can link it in the show notes about I talked to my mom, but we're both still alive because that's important.
Yeah, it's also, it's important. Hard. Look, here's the thing. I tell a story is that when COVID started, my mom, you know, called me up, come to her house, and I show up. And this was when COVID was really, really serious. And she brings me into her room, and she has Ziploc bags with all of her jewelry in them. And they're all labeled for me, my brother, my daughter, my nephew, and it's all labeled. And she's like, look, I'm telling you where I'm putting all of this. I'm like, Mom, what? She's like, no. You need to know. And of course I say, what every daughter does, Mom, this is ridiculous. You don't need to do this. This isn't
right.
And she looks at me and she goes, no, you taught me. I do need to do this. And so now you're responsible and now you need to know where everything is. Mm. And she was right. Here's the thing. She was right. And talk about practice what you preach. Right. I sat there for, I wrote down where everything was written, where every key was, like, and we did it. And I think, you know, again, reminders, it's hard. And this isn't, I'm not someone who is sitting here saying, oh, just go do it. No, it's right. Hard. It's real. It's painful. And you should still do it.
Yeah. It sucks. But do it. Thanks.
Yep. This sucks.
It does suck. Again, this too. It's going to suck. Yeah. Got to do it though.
Yes.
Kind of got to do it. No big deal though.
Yes.
So I want to dive into your new business that you have. Let's talk about that. What's going on with that? I saw you say you have Farewelling is your new business. Ignore me.
Farewelling, yes.
Ignore me, y'all. I'm reading the notes.
Oh, I was excited. I was like, woo, what am I doing?
Like, I was like, oh, I got this. I was like, oh, another one? Y'all, ignore me. Ignore me, y'all. This is what happens sometimes. But see, I'm going to keep this in here because this is real and authentic, okay?
I was excited. I was like, did Karen let you know something else?
We have a new business? I'm like, y'all,
I would not do anything without God bless it. Yeah, no, Karen is amazing and she is just a genius behind it. So I definitely for a second thought maybe she was announcing something great.
Right. Elizabeth's like, was I supposed to say something about that? Y'all, punctuation matters. Ignore me, y'all. I need to look at punctuation. It's me, not you. It's me, not you, but this conversation has really just been amazing. It has warmed my heart just so much. And I could talk to you all night, but we'll reel it in for the people. So I always love to end with this question, because again, I think it brings it all together. So for someone who is listening, who either wants to get into the field or is like, okay, I think I want to get a death doula or just interested in this whole conversation. What is the biggest takeaway that you want for someone listening to this episode?
Yeah, so I think my biggest takeaway is kind of go with it, address it. Don't hide from grief. As someone who's made this my life, I still need to repeat that to myself. I still need to realize sometimes when I'm struggling that at the heart of that is grief. I'm a new mom. That has brought on a whole new wave of grief in a way that I could have never imagined. My husband also lost his mom. And so it's a conversation in our house often is what our daughter is missing from her life. And again, we had to welcome a whole new version of grief. And I think it's really important is that at times I may react differently to something that is bothering me. And at the heart of it is something triggered. I parent differently because I try to bring what my dad taught me into her life to fill a void that is in my head. And I always say to everyone, keep that door open and acknowledge the grief. Because it's really detrimental to put it back. And it can show itself in really evil ways. And so I would say, go on your journey, do what you can, ask for help if you need it. There's nothing negative about doing so. There are a lot of open arms, whether professional or not, and a lot of people who do want to help. And so seek out that assistance.
Ooh, I love that. My little heart just pitter-pattered. I mean, you hit on all the things. I have nothing. So cut the episode. But no, Elizabeth, thank you again. Just so much for being here. Thank you for you and Karen for what you guys are doing. And thank you for the work that you're doing in this grief world. It's not for the faint of heart, you know, but you have the heart to do it. I can see that. And I can see your empathy and how you care for people. So I appreciate you for doing that because it's hard. But if you have, I can just tell you have such a heart to be able to do that for people. And everybody doesn't have that, even if they're in the space to do it. Some people are a little bit rough. I'm like, whoo, you probably should go do something else.
True.
Right. I'm like, ooh, this is probably not your ministry, but I'm trying to redirect you.
But for many of us, and you yourself, it is a calling and it's evident. And so I truly appreciate time with you, and I am always on the other end and look forward to the future and what we can do and getting the word out together.
Yeah, of course. So if people want to reach out to you, because I know they want to. They want to reach out to you, learn more about you, about Farewelling. Where can they find you at?
At Farewelling. So it's actually myfarewelling.com, www.myfarewelling.com. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on social media at Farewelling, myfarewelling. And we are everywhere. We are always happy to talk. And yeah, we learn from you. So come to us with anything, you know, and we will be thrilled to talk to you.
Yes. Yeah, they're very nice. Literally the nicest people ever. So hit them up, guys, and go get your stuff done. Don't wait till last minute. Don't wait until a week before like I did. Or don't be, what's your dad say again? What was the phrase?
Oh, I can't believe I even told you this on a podcast. It's so embarrassing. Clearly, it still haunts me, though. I could get dead.
I could get dead. So make sure you get never your stuff done before you get dead. Yes. Make sure you get your stuff done before you get dead, okay?
Get dead, exactly.
Shout out to dad, because that is hilarious.
Yeah. Don't worry, it haunts me every day. It's fine.
Oh, thank you again, Elizabeth. I'm going to get into my wrap up, but thank you so much again.
Thank you.
You guys, that was so good. Elizabeth is just so sweet. So I hope you guys learned something from that. I hope you got really the meaning of, you know, that grief is just going to always be there. And you just have to embrace it. You gotta, you know, like she said, be active with it, lean into it, you know, not try and suppress it, cope with it, you know, learn how to manage it, you know, which we've talked about on last season with Dr. Kurt, right? You know, and how important it is to, you know, have your end of life, you know, wishes really set up and really understanding that, because, you know, if you're like me, I wouldn't say I'm a type A person, but what I will say is that, you know, I do like things a certain way, just because, you know, and obviously I'm fully aware that, you know, therapy, you know, but I learned in therapy, but the way that I am is I would rather just do something because I feel like it's not going to be done right if I try and like get someone else to do it. And that is obviously my own issues and, you know, working through that. But at the same time, what this allows you to do, what Farewelling allows you to do, is have that set up and make it fun, make it cool, make it amazing, tell you the things I want, tell you things I don't want. So if something were to happen to me, like my family would know, like, okay, this is, so it allows you to kind of like control it from the grave. That's a terrible way to think about it, but it's the truth. Okay. If you see this person coming in here, okay, you know, they were phony to me. You know, you can let them stay, let them be cute, but they not coming to the after party. Okay, we checking IDs at the door. Pray for me, y'all. Send help. So, you know, I think, pray for me, y'all. But no, for real, like, I love what they're doing. I love the mission. I love that, you know, Elizabeth is out here really, you know, helping people in the death, you know, death doula space. And, you know, that just takes a certain type of individual, right? You know, and, you know, I just love that she's doing that. And so I hope, again, that you just learned something, you know, and are maybe you're thinking of like, hey, maybe I should invite a death doula in, you know, if someone in your family is sick or something, to kind of help you navigate. I think it would help. It's not going to make grief any less, right? But it'll help you ease the pain a little bit, I would hope, you know, as you're going through the process, because grief is complex. Grief is God, it has so many layers, right? But if you can have someone kind of ushering you, like she said, you know, you usher a baby in as you do birth doula, and you usher someone out, you know, so if you have someone helping you in the ushering process of them transitioning, you know, hopefully it will make it a little easier. So like I said, I really hope that you learned something in this. I really hope that as you are going through the process of even having the conversation of end of life planning, as you are thinking about bringing a death doula in, you know, if you are even thinking about getting into the grief work space, you know, it's like she said, it can be hard, it can be exhausting, it can be all of those things, but you know, it's not fun, it's not sexy, you know, it can be all of those things, right? But it's so rewarding. And it's so, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. It just the feeling that you get from doing that and from showing compassion, and the feeling that you get from having someone there to help you through that, like that feeling is just a good feeling. And so as you're going through the process, as you're having these conversations, as you're thinking about bringing someone in, as you're thinking about getting into the grief workspace, you know, as I always say, be kind to yourself and give yourself grace, because if you don't, who will? That's it, you guys. That is it. Thank you so much for listening to another week's episode of This Too Shall Suck podcast, A Fresh Perspective on Grief. If you haven't already, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. I would so greatly appreciate it. And follow me on social media. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at This Too Shall Suck podcast. Send me a message. I love responding to you guys. I love connecting with you guys. Or if you don't have social media, feel free to shoot me an email at hello@thistooshallsuckpodcast.com. This episode and every single episode is produced by my amazing producer, Mike Sick. And all the music that you hear is original music produced by my amazing producer, Jimmy Samaj. As always, I love you guys so much, and I'm sending you love and light in your life because you deserve it. I'll see you on the next episode. Mwah.